Bro, he was mean mugging me so hard the other day, just like staring through me. Like he was lost or something. Peering around through my soul.
You have a very punchable face.
I do not want to plant that seed because it's going to end with someone punching me in the face.
How do you know it's going to be you?
I mean, it's all about me. Everything comes back to me.
Oh, what? God, it's all about me.
Who else are they going to want to punch?
I don't know. I think Brendan's face is more punchable.
Wow.
Why? I think I have a very handsome face. I think it's more my personality that is punchable.
It just feels fluffy. Like, it wouldn't hurt my knuckles, you know? Like,
are you saying I have a fat face?
Yeah, fluffy.
Welcome to On the Bench. I am Brendan Sinone. I am joined by the entire OTP crew right now. Josh Newberg. What up, Josh?
What's up? Ready to pod.
Zach Blaustein. Zachary, hello.
What up?
And Chris Nee, who, is it weird, Chris, that you're not on the bench right now? Like, you're sitting at home? Is this odd to you?
I'm just happy to be here.
I don't think so. Poor Chris.
I am.
Josh made Chris podcast at 8 a.m. the day as soon as the dead period
began. He gave
me
15 extra minutes of sleep before potting. We were originally supposed to do 7:45 a.m. He's a saint. I mean, that alarm got changed from 7:40 to 7:55 real quick.
Extra 10 minutes has got you looking bright and happy and refreshed, too.
I moved it back. I went for a jog this morning, so I moved it back a little bit. But I'm going on vacation. I'm heading up to upstate New York. I got to get my rent back in like 30 minutes. I got to hop on a flight. But I wanted to get the podcast in.
It's just, it's not upstate New York. I'm going to upstate New York.
Go to the Catskills. That's considered upstate. You a New York snob now?
Yeah.
We're in Florida.
We are holding this episode of On the Bench to do kind of a quick recap, despite of the long introduction here, of this official visit weekend. It was really the crescendo of FSU's remarkable June. Right now, FSU enters the dead period as the fifth-ranked team nationally in the 2022 recruiting classic. Let that sit in. I know it's not December yet. We're not signing guys yet. There's still time for things to shake out. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of change. But FSU is fifth nationally. And a lot of that is due to the whirlwind of this past weekend. It started with Travion Williams, who we've already discussed a little bit. I want to go through all of the guys have gotten. They've gotten four commits the last few days here. Let's go to the one that we haven't discussed yet, and that is Bishop Thomas, three-star defensive tackle, played at Bishop Moore in Orlando this past year, originally from the New Orleans area. Coach Yak had the connection with him. Fellas, who wants to take Bishop Thomas and kind of explain a little bit? Zachary, I'm going to throw this to you because you were there for the interview. Bishop Thomas, his commitment to FSU, his decision there.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing to note, I think we noted on this on the emergency pod, was he brought his entire family on the trip to Florida State. It was over 10 people, probably closer to 15. And, you know, it just seemed like from the start of that trip, Bishop was gonna commit to FSU. Obviously we didn't know the timeline. We figured it would be over the weekend, but you never know. Some guys like to wait it out for a few more days just to think about it. But yeah, it's a huge get. He also officially visited Tennessee and Texas in the month of June, and Florida State wins out on that final weekend. And he's a guy that they've liked for quite a while. I think they offered early on in the spring. Odell Higgins has been, you know, building that bond with him, as well as Coach Yak with his Louisiana ties. And, you know, getting that first piece in the defensive tackle room is big because, you know, I don't think they signed any last year. I mean, there's a couple guys that will shift inside that were listed at defensive end. But they didn't sign any true D tackles last year. So getting Bishop Thomas, a really athletic defensive tackle who goes, you know, if you look at Brendan's scouting report, he also plays some tight end, and it's pretty impressive just how he moves at that size. But yeah, you know, getting that first piece in is big, and they can go and kind of go big game hunting for another piece along that interior defensive line.
People are mad at me that I said he's ranked appropriately at 88. In the composite. I think 88 to 90 is fair for him. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could have a slight uptick up. I think he's like, what, 467 nationally? I think he's a guy that could settle in around the 300 to 450 range. I don't think he's a top 247 prospect, personally.
Yeah, no, I think
he's... But I think he's a very talented kid. You know, people get so hung up on rankings, it's nuts. Bishop Thomas is the kind of guy that can come in here and contribute and probably do so fairly early in his career. And it also continues the trend of FSU taking defensive tackles and big body defensive linemen that are a little bit less nose guard and a little bit more athletic on the interior. I think, you know, Zach referenced it. They didn't take a true D tackle in that last class, but a guy like Josh Farmer, a guy like Shawnberry Jackson, both of those big bodied individuals are going to end up most likely being interior guys a majority of their career here. I think Farmer's already trended pretty heavily that way. I think he's around 290 right now, and Jackson's not far behind. You know, I think Jackson may start on the edge initially, but I think we're going to see him slide inside at some point in his career as he just continues that maturation process and adding weight. I think Bishop Thomas is another guy that falls right in line with that. He's about 6'2", 300 pounds, good athleticism, probably can shave a little bit of that weight off as he gets himself in better shape, but he's going to end up settling at a weight pretty similar to that as he gets into a college program and bulks up to some degree.
Okay, Josh, we went over with our emergency pod the three commitments that happened prior to Bishop Thomas publicly. Kenyle Charlton, the three-star offensive lineman from Brunswick, Georgia. Quayshon Sapp, four-star offensive lineman from Lee County in Leesburg, Georgia. And then Trevion Williams, the four-star defensive end from Crystal Springs, Mississippi. Real quick, Josh, I know you had crystal balls in for at least the two offensive linemen, and then you were really impressed with Trevion Williams when you saw him in person at the Elite Camp. So I just want to get your thoughts real quick on those three takes, what it means for the offensive line to get those two guys, and just your general thoughts of Trevion Williams and that take for FSU.
Yeah, first of all, Trevion Williams.
Grown-ass man.
They don't have anybody on the roster that looks like him. So as soon as he stepped on the field and took a couple reps at the Elite Camp, we knew that this was not only a guy that Florida State was going to offer, but he was immediately going to become a top target. And that's exactly what happened. I wrote a little insider report in the latest recruiting scoop that dropped on Knowles 24/7 on Saturday. And I detailed all the behind the scenes, and also the timeline on Trevion Williams' recruitment and how it happened. It started with Marcus Woodson kind of opening the door because he's from Mississippi and he had a line to get Trevion on campus for the Elite Camp on June 5. They offer, and kind of the rest is history. They made him a priority. They got mom and grandma on the first visit. They got mom and her sister, Trevion's aunt, on the second visit. And Trevion committed, you know, on the second day of his visit. It was a big commitment, 6'4", 250 pounds. He has all the athleticism in the world and brings both size, speed, burst to Florida State's defensive line, something that they've sorely been missing. Who were the other two guys you asked me about?
The two offensive linemen. Real quick on Williams there. People were asking, he physically reminds me of Xavier Peters when he got here, but he's 25 pounds bigger than Xavier Peters in terms of the frame and that athleticism. So that was one comp that I was trying to figure
and
out.
Trevion Williams has really never worked out at defensive end. No. As crazy as this sounds, he plays quarterback and linebacker primarily for his high school team. And he will be playing defensive end as a senior or more defensive end as a senior. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show his athleticism. And in high school football, that's just how it is. The best athlete touches the ball the most. And Trevion Williams, even at 6'4", 250 pounds, is still the best athlete on the field in a lot of his games. So he'll start taking more reps at defensive end and we'll see him become more refined. I wouldn't even say a project. He's a high ceiling guy that is just beginning to develop as a defensive end.
Yeah. Dude, watching him put his foot in the ground, stick and change direction as a quarterback, you know, when he's running the football is impressive. Crazy. Okay. So the two other players, Josh, were Quayshon Sapp, offensive tackle from Leesburg, probably an offensive guard, right? And then Kenyle Charlton from Brunswick, two guys that Alex Atkins, your boy, had been in on for quite a while.
Yeah, I'd say I think this completes FSU's interior offensive line class, but I don't know if it actually completes it. I think we might see more. But Kenyle Charlton,
spoiler alert, Josh.
Kenyle Charlton and Quayshon Sapp, I slate them both to be interior guys, at least when they start off at Florida State. Sapp has been silently committed to FSU for 3 months. The relationship with Alex Atkins just couldn't be beat. And then you have Kenyle Charlton, who I mean, he has essentially been silently committed, publicly committed. I don't know. But Kanaya Charlton's been on Florida State's campus for like the entire month of June. The Brunswick offensive lineman makes it official over the weekend and commits to FSU. But I'm not quite sure that's it for FSU's interior offensive line. I'm not going to spoil it like Chris always does. But go ahead, Brendan.
You know what? I want to talk about the other guys who are official visiting. There's 5 other ones we have not got to from the weekend. And let's start with the interior offensive liners, the offensive line in general. Let's start here. There were some crystal balls that were dropped last night. Some crystal balls. One for Antavius Woody from, do you want to pronounce it, Josh?
Lafayette.
Apparently, we're both saying it wrong. Apparently, the people in Alabama say Lafayette, I think. So we were both saying it incorrectly. But it was much better than your
last. How many Lafayettes are there? There's like 4, right? Or 5.
Louisiana has one. There's this one.
Hang on.
I'm sure there's some others.
I'm sure there's others.
I'm Googling it. If you want to talk about his
vials, all right, I'll take
why we
you.
Dropped into crystal ball, I'll get you back with the pertinent information in a minute. Give me a second.
I got you. All right. Antavius Woody made an official visit to FSU over the weekend. He's being recruited. Let's just get this out of the way right now, huh, Chris? He's being recruited as an interior offensive lineman. Would you agree with that?
But he said offensive tackle.
Yes, and also he works out at defensive tackle in high school. But we have clarified through not only our sources, but talking to Antavius Woody. I mean, he told me that his 2 lead recruiters are Alex Atkins and Kenny Dillingham. So it is clear that FSU views Antavius Woody as an offensive line prospect. Take that a step forward. Yes, Antavius Woody said he's being recruited as an offensive tackle. However, Antavius Woody measured in at just under 6'3". Was it just under 6'3"?
Yeah, it was like 6'2½ or 6'2¾".
Yeah.
We put it at 6'3" on his profile, 291 pounds.
Right. So he's more of a guard center prospect. He's very athletic. FSU likes him. Maybe even this takes me back, Chris, I'm getting a little nostalgic. Remember when we used to talk about big athletic bodies, get them on campus, and we'll figure out what to do with them next?
Yeah, and I was actually just about to go on a rant about that, but thanks, Josh. You stole my thunder.
Bye, go ahead.
Take that, Chris.
They have to get a tackle or 2 tackles, 2 guys that are legitimate tackle measurements who certainly can play tackle, have the ability and the skill and the things that you need within the woodwork of the body to play the tackle position. But in general, they need bigger offensive linemen. So you just keep taking them and you kind of figure it out. And one of the guys we're going to talk about a little later here is a guy that's actually listed on our site as an interior offensive lineman. Measurements are right there at the fringe of what you would think an interior guy versus possibly a tackle guy is. And I think he's a guy that could be a tackle for FSU. But in this case, you just keep taking big bodies and you kind of figure it out. You know, a guy like Quayshon Sapp, he's got sort of tackle measurements, but he's probably a guard. But he could get away with cheating with him at right tackle. So I'm of the opinion FSU just keeps adding the big bodies. I do want him to get one prototypical type in Elijah Pritchett, for example, at offensive tackle. But, you know, I am not going to lose any sleep at FSU takes 5 guys that may be interior offensive linemen, because if you take 5, hopefully 2 or 3 of them pan out, and that gives you a really good interior.
There are 14 guys, 14 cities, Lafayettes in America.
Any in Florida?
No. Now, there's also, that's just cities. There's villages, there's towns, there's metropolitan areas, there's counties. So Lafayette.
And I'm sure the ones, as you get deeper into the South, are pronounced differently than some others.
There's a Lafayette. I said a county. It's a parish because it's Louisiana. There's one in Oregon as well. Anyways, I digress. I think there's one in Texas, which brings me to Duncanville, Texas. There were 2 prospects from Duncanville visiting this weekend as official visitors. One is 4-star offensive lineman Jalen Early. Another one, 3-star tight end Jarrell Powers. I want to start with, and we'll start with Jalen Early. Zachary, you dropped the crystal ball for him yesterday evening. 6'4", 320-pound offensive lineman, 202nd-ranked player in the 2022 class. Explain your balls, please, sir.
Yeah, well, Florida State's been in on Jalen Early for quite some time now. Alex Atkins has been building a relationship kind of on the low for quite some time, dating back to, you know, this, I think over a year ago when they first offered. But yeah, Jalen Early's out of Texas. He's taken official visits to Texas Tech, Texas A&M, and Ohio State. I view Texas Tech as the main competition in this recruitment, just because I think he had a really good visit there. But I think Florida State made some moves with him this past weekend. So, you know, visiting with his teammate Jarrell Powers was a big factor. I think both of them are very close, and the possibility of playing at the next level together is something that's appealing. I asked specifically about that, and he said they've been talking about that quite some time. So I think FSU sits in a good spot. He announced he's going to be making his college decision on July 15th. And for right now, I expect that decision to be FSU. That's why I put the crystal ball in late last night.
Yeah, some of the other contenders for the 6'4", 320-pound offensive lineman include Texas Tech, Ohio State, Texas A&M. He took official visits to those other three. He also mentioned Penn State to me yesterday when we spoke as he departed, but a visit there never happened. It sounds as though it's mostly FSU, Texas Tech. He had a very good visit to Lubbock and, you know, enjoyed it a great deal, and they've done a good job recruiting him. And the other two, I think, are interested in him, but I'm not entirely convinced he could commit to him right now if he wanted to. But that's one of those things where we're kind of checking on sources and seeing if that's the case or not. But, yeah, I agree with Zachary that FSU sits in a pretty good spot here. He very much liked the staff. He has built a good bond with Alex Atkins. It is a year plus that they've been talking now, and he mentioned that yesterday. And he said having that face-to-face meeting ability to kind of get to know one another up close and personal was a great thing about the official. He also very much just enjoyed the honesty of the entire staff. That's including Mike Norvell. In their conversations, that they were very straightforward, direct with him. Everything they've kind of told him on the phone was something they reinforced when they spoke in person. It wasn't a lot of talk. It was just kind of a very direct talk, and I think that stood out. He was accompanied by his mother on the visit. He said she is entirely comfortable with him going away from home. That location is not a major factor in his decision. 6'4", 320. He could definitely be a guard. I think he's a kid that can also play tackle. He carries the weight really well on the body. He's a little bit longer than that 6'4". You know, he's a little bit over 6'4", as compared to Woody, who's a little bit under 6'3". So I think he's a guy that could be a bit of a swing where he could be the edge or on the interior.
I like that this entire podcast has turned into Chris determining whether people are tackle or guards. This is pretty much
a dream podcast. I'm not locking them in. I'm just saying capability.
Can we talk about we need more tight ends? More tight ends.
Josh, you were the first. I will give you the honors here to put in a crystal ball for Jarrell Powers, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was before the visit, and it sounds like the visit, you're not changing the crystal ball.
No, I'm just looking for more tight ends to crystal ball to Florida State. Yeah, I put in a crystal ball pick for Jarrell Powers, Duncanville, Texas tight end, 6'4", 238 pounds. He visited this weekend, like you said, with Jalen Early. I think this is going to come down to FSU or Colorado. He's also taken official visits to Colorado and Oregon State along with FSU. Jarrell Powers was set to make his decision on July 3rd, but it looks like this visit has shook things up. Jarrell Powers announced that he is going to actually make his decision on July 2nd. Not a big change there. I was just trying to be dramatic. But I still feel good about where FSU sits. Chris, you had a bit of inside news on Jarrell Powers and kind of his development at Duncanville. What did you find out yesterday?
I had a good conversation about FSU's interest in him as a tight end, why they liked him. He came in and measured in a little bit longer than they expected and a little bit heavier with the athleticism that he has. He's 6'4 plus, 238. On film, he's much more of a receiver than like an inline blocking tight end, but they very much like his ability as a receiver and believe he can develop as an inline blocker, you know, kind of compared to a Cam McDonald in the sense of what he brings to the game, but he will have to develop as a blocker as did Cam McDonald when he came here. But they're looking for a tight end that's different than what they're going to have on the roster moving forward after this year. Obviously, McDonald's likely to depart the roster this year. They don't really have a guy that steps into those shoes. So Powers coming in would add to that mix of guys like Jackson West that they brought in last year, Carter Boatwright, and big boy Marquiston Douglas, who are more inline blocking types, those last two that I mentioned. Wyatt Rector, who's already at the position. We know what he brings to it. Right, Brendan? And who's the other tight end currently in this class?
Preston Daniels, more of an inline blocker.
Yeah, do you see me scratching my head right here?
And then there's also
Wyatt Rector scored. He's a gadget player. He's a special teams warrior.
No. I'm scratching my head here.
Explain yourself, Josh.
As Chris tries to
Kobe Gross is a blocker, but don't
Brendan, shut up.
Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
Chris, does this make the confusion of Brian Courtney's commitment even more confusing?
No, because they love tight ends, man. We just need to accept it as a fact. They do.
Now you got Jarrell Powers who's come in, and then let's talk about.
But I don't think they love the position as it is, especially what it's going to be when McDonald departs, because McDonald's kind of one sure thing they currently have, despite his production never being great.
Jordan Wilson as a blocker type.
So why are Jordan Wilson, Brian Courtney, sight unseen?
You're going to be
the measurables. His measurables.
I think to answer that question, honestly, I think they loved his film so much that once his measurables checked out, in the sense of knowing what he was, height, weight, testing numbers,
they're verified.
They were completely comfortable.
Okay, then let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is Jahleel Skinner.
He's a wide receiver.
I know.
I killed that elephant with one shot. Boom.
No, I know he's a wide receiver, but he also could be a tight end, and he also could fill the same role as some of these more athletic tight ends that FSU's bringing in. Because like a Jarrell Powers is going to, let's just be honest, like he's going to play a similar role to what a Jahleel Skinner would if Jahleel Skinner was on the roster. I mean, Jahleel Skinner is not going to be a true wideout.
But I think that's true when they both arrive on campus, if they both end up here. But I think that road divides as we go. I think Powers is a kid that you bulk up further, make him a little bit more of a against the line of scrimmage with the offensive line, in-line blocking, also capable of going downfield. I think Skinner is a guy that stays on the outside more and you use as a versatile catching one-on-one winning weapon on the outside that you want, like in receivers.
I think Josh is just having flashbacks of when Tim Brewster would take 20 tight ends a class. I think this is where this is coming from.
I get it. And like that room is too crowded. But if you add a couple bodies this year and those guys are guys,
it's too crowded. So we're going to just take a bunch more.
But it always
but who, one that we've never seen before.
But who, but, okay, I will, go ahead. But no, who you're offers?
Right. I'm an asshole.
I didn't say that today.
Who offers the ability to stretch the field vertically at tight end, Josh, after Cameron? Like, who's like a go right down the field 20 yards, grab the ball off the cup, kind of vertical tight end? Who does that for them on the roster right now?
Right now, nobody.
Yeah. Okay, so you take two in this class who resemble that. You're hedging your bets. And then you take Brian Courtney as someone who you figure out what – like they have to revamp the room. I know you want to see more cut in person. I get it. That's a fair critique. It's a fair critique. I get it.
If we get to December and that room, suddenly the current bodies that are in it, you know, have come to life and you've got, you know, after Wilson and McDonald, who both are likely to depart, you've got, you know, a handful of guys that you really like. Maybe you're not taking these two in the end. But I think right now they don't believe in that. I think right now this is a backup plan to two guys departing in the room needing what's next.
I do like the premise of this podcast was to be quick talking about the official visitors, and Josh has derailed this into tight end talk. I'm confused.
People want to talk about. Okay. We're getting into like sorting it out here because it's more than just tight end talk. It's also numbers talk because of
numbers talk.
Well, no, fill it in position needs, Brendan. You got it.
I'm excited. All right, if this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing.
When Lanfear came in 2 weeks ago for his official to JUCO, I was told they liked him a lot because he would be an excellent inline blocker who is also capable of working down the field, but he's an excellent inline blocker. He's a very big, thick body kid. And if you saw him physically, yes, he is. He's built like a guy that looks like you'd almost try to develop him into an offensive lineman if you had more time with him, because the frame and the size and the thickness are all there. But I think Powers is a guy that they like because he directly fills that McDonald role. And I don't think they have somebody like that. And they want guys that are different than the other guys they already have. But at some point, they need guys that are just talented and step up and do something. Kobe Gross is another guy we didn't even mention when we were talking about the current depth of that room. But I think Kobe's very different than most of the other guys in that room. I think he's almost more like a fullback, H-back type body type who they can use. But at some point, yes, that room's going to have to figure out who's going to be the guys they can rely on. We don't need a note. I love Preston Daniel. He played his backside off last year. We don't need Preston Daniel to be one or two on the depth chart at that position. They need guys to emerge at that position. I think they're recruiting, hoping to find maybe one or two of those. Basically, I'm saying I don't think they love that room.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, you doing okay, buddy? I know it's tough to see everyone getting so heated over tight end talk.
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. Let's talk official visitors.
All right, thank you. Thank you. The voice of reason. Jesus. All right, Emory Jones, who talked to him? Who spoke to the big four-star offensive lineman, potentially interior offensive lineman, from Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
I think I did.
All right, well, go for it, buddy. Go for it.
Yeah, so Emory Jones, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, can Florida State beat out LSU for Emory Jones, a guy who's literally from Baton Rouge? So I just, you know, obviously they did a great job on this visit. Alex Atkins, you know, once again, does a great job with an offensive line prospect visiting campus. The two of them have been building a bond for quite some time. And Emory Jones coming out of the trip tells me that he has a top three of Arkansas, Florida State, and LSU. I think he plans to use one more official visit on LSU because he actually hasn't visited there officially yet. And then he plans to make a decision sometime after that. But yeah, you know, it's going to be a tough one just because any kid in state in Louisiana that LSU wants is always a tough pull. But I think Florida State's making it interesting. We'll see if they can, you know, get some footing there. But for right now, I'm liking LSU still, but we'll see how things pan out. Plus, you know, things are going on over there. So if things shake up at LSU, you never know what could happen.
There's something to be said to be in position in case stuff does go down. I do think that is valid, Zach. All right, keep your mic unmuted because I'm going to pull you in a second here for the last official visitor we have not discussed. That is four-star linebacker Jerron Willis. But at first, I want to start with the one man who left his crystal ball into Florida State during all of this time, that's been sitting and waiting and watching this all develop. And now, after Jerron's official visit, and Zach, I'll ask you to give the details on that in a minute. But first, Josh, how you feeling right now about your crystal ball hanging in at FSU?
Diamond hands, baby. Diamond hands. If the stock market taught me one thing, it's that fear nothing. In the face of fear, you guys all flipped your crystal balls to Georgia Tech. And I sat on mine and said, you know, I think this recruitment has some twists and turns left in it. And I knew, you know, and I said it at the time, Jerron Willis is going to take all of his official visits. He ended up keeping his trip to FSU. He was there this weekend. And it sounds like, at a minimum, FSU gave Jerron Willis a lot to think about. And at best, maybe there's a flip on the horizon. Zach, you spoke to Jerron Willis. What's the timeline sound like on a potential final decision, quote unquote, final decision?
He didn't line it out exactly, but I basically asked him if he had another decision to make. And he kind of said, yeah. He mentioned he had some rethinking to do like three or four times during the interview. So
on a scale of 1 to 10, how confused do you think he is?
Oh my. No, but he tweeted out that he was going to drop some news yesterday. That tweet was deleted recently or shortly after that.
We call it dirtening. He dirtened it. Oh, it wasn't deleted. It
never
was
go
dirtened.
Never go full dirten.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And then he posted some Georgia Tech stuff on his Instagram saying like, I think it was like his commitment graphic. And he was like, you know, the vibes or something like that. So, it's just a weird situation. I think, you know, my prediction as of now for what's going to happen with this is I think Jerron Willis takes, you know, a couple of days and realizes that, you know, he's not sure on his commitment and he probably steps back on that commitment. And, you know, after that, you got to like where Florida State stands. But until that happens, it's definitely going to be something to watch. I just, you know, I think he's kind of confused right now. I think Florida State did an amazing job on this official visit with him. Chris Marvin specific, you know, a couple of the other coaches, Mike Norvell. That meeting with Mike Norvell really stood out to him on that final day before we spoke to him. So, yeah, I mean, these coming days and weeks are going to be, you know, very telling for Jerron Willis's recruitment to Florida State. I don't think FSU is necessarily pushing for a flip right now. You know, they're kind of leaving that up to him. I think they kind of are confident in what they presented to him this weekend. And a big thing with him is obviously his preferred position at the next level. I asked him specifically about that in the post interview. And he mentioned Florida State liking him at the stud position, where he can go and roam around the field and make plays, you know, kind of like a defensive back, but more in that traditional outside linebacker role, where he's just hitting people. So I think Jaren Willis fits that role well. He measured in at like 228 pounds, 6'2", I think, was his height. So, I mean, any linebacker I've ever seen, you know, that seems like an ideal measurement for a linebacker and not, you know, a traditional defensive back. But, you know, we'll see what happens with his recruitment. I'm very interested to see what happens in the next few days as far as if he steps back on that commitment to Georgia Tech or even flips to FSU.
All right. So we good on
anybody? Is anybody thinking about flipping their crystal ball picks back?
I'm not quite ready to do that. I'm willing to take the bullet if he just does the straight flip, but I'm not convinced at this moment he's going to do the straight flip. I think he's more likely to back off it. And when he does that, then I would probably change it at that point.
What about Chris? If I gave you a clean slate, you never put in a crystal ball. You would
in a crystal ball for FSU
right now. Okay. That's good.
I think he is more likely as of today to end up at FSU than Georgia Tech. But I think this is a kid that is waffling a little bit in the sense of dealing with emotions of having made a commitment, being very interested in school, trying to figure out which path is best for him, and maybe even having a real life realization of his future position too. He's not a safety.
Yeah, I'm not knocking the kid.
Nobody on God's green earth can convince me that he's going to be a safety because he's going to be 240 pounds in a couple of years.
Cam Chancellor is considered like the prototypical like big safety, right? Like that's one of the biggest safeties, most physical, almost linebacker as safety to play in the NFL recent memory. He was 225 pounds at 6'3". Yeah. Jaren Willis is already there. He's still growing.
All right. So FSU had, real quick, they had 11, 16, 17 official visitors. In June, official visitors. They also had all 36 of the currently listed top targets on Knowles247.com on campus at some point in the month. But we'll talk about that another day. So they currently, out of those 17 that officially visited, they have, I believe it is, 6 commitments from that bunch. So out of the other 11, how many end up Seminoles?
Oh, you hear that music coming? It's Buyer Sonone.
I'm buying that all day.
I'm Sonone that for sure.
Bye, baby, bye.
I am Sononing it, but not. No.
I'm going to Sonone it. I'm definitely Sononing that. Big Sonone.
I'd buy that.
Yeah!
I Sonone both of you.
You can't out Sonone us.
We're doing a little Buyer Sonone.
Fine Sonone.
This segment is going to die because you are allowing the fans to do it.
I buy.
This whole segment's deteriorating.
17 official visitors, 6 already committed, 11 not currently committed to FSU. Out of those 11, does FSU end up with commitments from more than 6 of them? Buy or Sonone?
So 6 more coming from the official visits?
Yep.
Let's see.
We can group think this. It's a group project.
Well, let's see. Not committed right now that we have crystal ball on.
I'm just buying. I'm buying straight up buying.
Wow.
It's Josh is in that stock market for me. Mode. Money. Throw it at it. Money.
Yeah.
All right. So Woody.
It's in my buy range.
Bye, right, baby, so, bye.
Hold on. Ready? I'll just do mine. Ready?
Yep. Powers.
Oh, you mean just from this week or just
from... No. I'm just going in reverse order. Richardson. That's 5, right? That gets us to 5.
What are you talking about?
Guys that we think...
Yeah. I'll go Daughtry Richardson, 1. Jalen Glover, 2. Jarrell Powers, 3. Jalen Early, 4, Antavius Woody, 5, Jaren Willis, 6. There you go. I'm buying at 5.
I struggled to get beyond 6. So I think that was a good number to set it at. But yeah, I think 5 or 6 is definitely the ballpark right now. Jalen Glover's coming off Utah. He took 5 in a month. So he's obviously got some deliberating to do.
Mm-hmm.
Daughtry Richardson, I think it's going to be an FSU-Miami decision at the end. I know FSU feels pretty good about where they sat as of yesterday from some conversations had. We obviously covered pretty well the guys that were in this weekend and where things stand with them. So just thought that was an interesting case study. So, but yeah, about 17 of 36 top targets came in for official visits. So about half of that group. So we're halfway home, essentially.
Buy or Sonone? June was a pivotal month.
Bye. Is that I mean, June was huge. Big June.
I just wanted to get Pivotal in there. Is July going to be more Pivotal?
So wasn't I right about that? Isn't it? Wasn't I right saying that you could... Hold on. Just before you cut me off and talk. You were saying that May was going to be a very pivotal month. And my point was, yes, but every month is more pivotal than the next as we get closer to signing day.
Yeah, well...
Isn't that kind of been the case?
We were both right then, because May was pivotal, and June was even more pivotal.
Or was it April that you were...
No, it was May, and then I got kind of screwed over because AJ Duffy decided to pop, like, in late April.
Right.
So, you know. But at that point, we thought maybe it was going to happen, like, in a week or two, so...
Yeah, every month it does get more and more, because July will be a month of commitments. August will be, okay, what is our class... You know, who are these last commitments right before... The season starts. What is our class going to look like as we head into the fall? So that's going to be very important. And then, of course, the fall, you got September with official visits. And then it's just going to get more and more important as we get closer to signing day.
Is this dead period, which began at midnight last evening and goes till midnight entering July 25th, is this going to be the most commitments during a June to July dead period ever? I think it will be.
Yeah. Nationally?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like we're talking about the recruiting rankings, and it's great FSU's fifth, but those are going to change a ton in the coming weeks here.
Right. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of guys come off the board, and it's because of the fact that so many visits were taken in June that kids just feel like, hey, I've seen enough. I'm ready to make my commitment.
Yeah, and there's also a pressure cooker situation. For example, FSU getting Trevion Williams. I don't know if it necessarily pressures a guy like Jones Jr. or Kelly, because they are sort of the elite standard that can wait it out and buy their own space and time. But it's clear as day that it does create a pressure in a sense of FSU starting to accumulate edge rushers. You know, are they only taking one more, two more? I think they would take both of those guys, obviously. But there is a pressure cooker situation that kind of happens in recruiting, where there's, you know, commitments start rolling, kids feel pressure that they have to come off the board because their space is going to disappear. I'm not using that. Those two aren't the best example, because elite guys can wait till they want to wait. There's a select percentage of recruits that are able to do that, but there's a hell of a lot of percentage of recruits that can't afford to do that.
Buy or Sonnone the staff's overall recruiting acumen? We buy in it or Sonnone in it?
I think having spent a vast majority of the last month sitting out in front of the Moore Athletic Center along with Zach, I am extremely impressed by how this staff operates. I'm very impressed by the fact that Mike Norvell trusts everybody on his staff, and that's including off-field guys, you know, like Guy Lemonnier, Austin, Cooper, you know, all these different guys that work with different positions as support staff. They trust them to recruit. They trust them to bring guys in.
Bartow?
Yeah, and Bartow's another example. I was trying
shout
to
shout out Effie.
Chris was trying to not die.
I know. I'm just trying to get all the shout outs in while Chris is dying.
The depth of the staff is very, very impressive in the sense that they allow those guys to operate. And I just find that very impressive. It's not only the 9 guys on the field, 10 guys on the field are recruiting type of situation. And it's top to bottom, and the energy's there. And if you're not bringing the energy, the head coach is going to call you on it. And he's going to bring it every day and do it constantly. I was very impressed by the way they operate over the last month. I haven't sat and calculated the exact number of targets they've brought in, but it's absurdly high. And it's 22, 23, 24 kids throughout the whole group.
Oh, it has to be the hundreds, right?
Yeah, easily. I mean, yeah. The top 36 targets for 22 all made it in at one point or another in a month. So that's just an example of it. And then you include the kids camps and the regular camps they did. And I think the number is like over 7,500 kids that they were face to face with in the last 2 months.
It's a lot
of money too.
Yeah. I get a lot of money for the camps coming in. The organization was really impressive.
Yes. Official visitors leave throughout the whole thing. Later, yeah. Big time visitor rolls in.
I know it's easy to be prisoner of the moment, but what do you think, Josh? Like what did you take away from this past month?
That they worked really hard, and I hope a lot of them are relaxing today or at least in the coming days. I mean, I just don't know how you can continue to burn it on both ends much longer. Even Mike Norvell was kind of like joking with us at the end. He's like, what idiot would schedule a booster meeting or a booster dinner tonight after 28 days of, you know, this recruiting madness? He's like, oh, well, you know, like you can tell that it's been a lot of work.
And they got one Everything more. They got one more week, don't they, Josh? They have one more week left too, of not of recruiting, but of like being around for work and before vacation.
A few, Yeah, a few of the coaches are actually going to stay back and work for a few more days with the guys with team workouts.
Yeah, current not recruiting,
but team workouts. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys move and relax, you know, over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully they get some time off.
Buy or Sonone, Chris, that first beer you had yesterday evening, maybe the only beer, I don't want to say you're having multiple ones, that beer you had as soon as the dead period ended was a top 10 beer for you in your lifetime.
It wasn't top 10. It was just a Kona Big Wave, but it was good. It was crisp. Me, the wife, and one of the little dudes went to World of Beer here in Tallahassee, the small one, and played a little Jenga with Ooh. Big blocks.
Yeah.
I think Carson would tell you he won both games, but I don't think he technically did. His father enjoyed a good meal with his wife, who he hadn't seen a whole lot in the last month, and enjoyed one brew early and one brew late. The second one was a Lexington Beer Company Vanilla Cream Barrel Ale, I think.
Oh,
and it
all right.
pulled off the flavor very well. I'd never had that one before, but it was good. It was first trip to World of Beer here in Tallahassee, so enjoyed that. But Daddy came home, as Carson would say, and he passed out. It took about 15
good
minutes.
For you.
I was completely asleep. My wife's an angel because she charged the phone for me over the evening because I would have woke up with no phone and probably slept through this podcast, in fact. So, yeah, I needed a good night of sleep. It was nice not to wake up, take a shower, and immediately go to the bench, to come home, to go to bed, to wake up, to take a shower, to immediately go to the bench. It's kind of nice to be out of that. I'm sure Zach's enjoying that the cycle is broken.
Yeah.
We lost Zach.
That was your cue in, Zach, by the way.
I'm here. I'm good. I'm actually doing this podcast. I'm doing a little walk on campus. So back to normal life for me. And it's just, yeah, like you said, like I would wake up, write a story, take a shower, and then go to the bench. So it's definitely great to not have to rush over there for you know, Florida State bringing visitors on campus every single day.
All righty. I'm glad the effort that all three of you guys did put in to covering recruiting was remarkable. The bench hours that Chris and Zach put in was nothing short of amazing. Josh working the phones. So Knowles 24/7, if you want amazing, elite, the best of the best FSU recruiting coverage, my colleagues are exquisite at what they do, truly, even though they make fun of me all the time and hurt my feelings. Joshua, do you want to read some things that our listeners said to that they appreciate about us?
No, two pods ago, I got on and I asked listeners to tell us how they heard about us. It doesn't necessarily mean they like us.
They were pretty nice, and they were pretty nice about me. So you could go.
Oh, you read them?
Yeah, I read them. I read every freaking review and then take it personally and dwell on them. And yeah.
All right. So FFONHD said, first heard about the pod on Twitter. Good job as usual. First started listening back on February of 2021. Not a big podcast person here, but getting there. Harlan Harris, how I first heard OTB. Shout out Big Three Roll Up for my listens. Always thought Josh was hilarious. Keep writing down all your jokes and telling the truth, no matter how bad it hurts us, Knowles. Obviously got word around Twitter about On the Bench, had to tune in. Now a year later, I work for one of the Big Three Roll Up Network pods as their producer with TJ and Richie, super producer DFNS. P.S. Sonone. Buyer Sonone, producing wearing tanks for podcasts. You're a big buy on that.
Big buy.
All right. Marlon Joker said, how I found On the Bench. FSU class of 2001, went on 12 years of military service. Once done with the military, I went on to follow the 13 team from Pittsburgh to Pasadena. Every home and road game, I've been there. So I found On the Bench listening to Josh on Facebook about 3 years ago as a Miami Seminole. This is a nice blend of beat writers and recruiting news. E Rocks This World, no doubt elite FSU podcast. I've been around since the beginning. The show has evolved from the hosts and has set itself apart from the rest. We've definitely evolved. It's Knollcast caliber quality and provides its own unique perspective and insight on Seminole athletics that makes it distinct from the rest. Only missing piece is Zach is a regular.
Zach's been a regular.
The people want more Zach.
More Zach. And also, Knollcast has agreed to sponsor us. I think it was going to be a six-figure deal. So thanks, Bud and Ingram. Really appreciate it, guys.
Jake Mo 2 said, fantastic. Started consuming basically all FSU podcasts and content in the summer of Justin Fields. I've been hooked since, and it's been a miserable existence following this team. Pod is fantastic, though. Thumbs up. All right, two more.
I'm
that,
really
that man's living my life in the mirror. We're enjoying it the same way. Oh, I get to talk about a football team not going to a bowl game? This should be great. Let's do it.
Chris pitching three podcasts in almost as many days. Like, he wanted to do
Mike Norvell has one. Changed me.
Chris is back on board. A buddy texts me that he had a buddy text him to say he listened to a podcast on the way home the other day, and it was refreshing to hear Chris sound excited.
Because I am excited. It's refreshing to be excited.
I think, well, I'm going to make this about me. Never mind. Go ahead, Josh.
Try Pride 1976, a great podcast. Heard of it first from another FSU pod. Speaks to how great collaborative FSU media can be. Keep up the great work. Noldad 84. First time I listened to OTB, Corona was a beer and not a death sentence. The podcast didn't have a name yet, and the audio quality resembled that of a Motley Crue tape. I remember there being another guy talking about special teams, and Josh hadn't started plugging the big three roll up incessantly. The world was a simpler place. We had no clue Trey Rowland was, and Lethal Simplicity was probably the name of a porn and not the failed catchphrase of a future failed head coach.
Oh, God.
OTB was probably the fourth best FSU pod, but now you're the best. I'm buying it. Thank you.
Damn, that was a good review.
That was a great review. That was actually pretty entertaining. Yeah. So if you guys want your review read, just go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and leave us a review, and we will read it on the next podcast.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's everything. Real quick, we want to get back like later this week, I think, to talk about just everything we learned from the past month, although we kind of went over
what's
that.
What's changed?
Do we want to do that? I don't want to promise it. I think we'll do that in the next week.
Yeah, I think we need to do something that reviews the month as a whole, takes a little bit more of a deeper look at beyond just the officials, but the unofficials, how it defines the board. Some of the stock up, stock down type of ideas.
Yeah,
I think Josh, stock up, stock down. We're stock show plug. Hey,
I'm buying the dips.
I think bourbon on a budget.
I think a quick show going position by position on what's changed, just talking about the recruiting board at each position. I think we could knock that out in 30, 45 minutes. And
Let's do it.
It almost sounds like Josh has written the script of a show, which is what people usually do when they do a show.
But either way, this is probably one of the best podcasts that we've done in a long time.
You had one job.
My job's to produce a good podcast. This was a good podcast. You guys can suck it.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.